From here, in late afternoons in winter, and to a lesser extent at any other time of the year, it's possible to watch kites coming together to roost. They can often be seen swirling high over the loch and sometimes calling distinctly in a way that you might already know well by now. If you can, walk down to the loch side through one of the wee gates and just savour the tranquillity of the scene. The spot is favoured by fishermen, and you will easily realise why. But what about other forms of wildlife? Here's Keith Kirk, countryside ranger for Dumfries and Galloway Council.
The area around Loch Ken is renowned for its wildlife throughout the year. In winter, the rare green and white-fronted geese can be seen around the RSPB Kendee Marshes Reserves at the Mains of Duchray on the west side of the River Dee, or down at Threave at the National Trust for Scotland's Wetland Centre near Castle Douglas. These are relatively rare geese, with their distinctive black bars on their bellies and white around the bases of their bills, contrasting with their otherwise chocolate-brown plumage. In fact, there are only around 20,000 worldwide. Of course, you'll also see greylag, pink-footed and Canada geese around the loch, so look out for these too. Other wildfowl in the loch in the winter include goldeneye, widgeon, goosander and pintail duck. All are here to escape the harsh Arctic winter. In spring and early summer, oyster catchers, lapwing and a few curlew can be seen and heard around the loch. Barn owls, foxes, badgers are common in the area, but more difficult to see. Early mornings are a good time to see roe deer, whereas the larger red deer frequent the Galloway Forest Park. Loch Ken is a good example of wildlife and human activities coexisting through the area being zoned for recreational use, from water skiing adjacent to Glenlagan to sailing and windsurfing at the Galloway Activity Centre further along the trail.
Leave this track playing as you drive on to the Kenbridge Hotel if you'd like to share in an exploration of the Parton Walk that Chris and I made with Callum Murray, the RSPB Community Liaison Officer for the Galloway Kite Trail.
There's a couple of warblers to start us off.
There are, yes. There's quite a near willow warbler, which has become probably a most common warbler in this part of Scotland. I think they're declining in the south, but they're really common here now. And chuckling away in the background, I'm sure I got a snatch of garden warbler.
Yeah, that's sometimes confused with the black cap, but it's more cheery, isn't it?
It is, yeah. An old friend of mine, Ray Hawley, who used to work with us and with the RSPB, said that if you could repeat the song or have a good go at it in a whistle, it's a black cap. And if you can't, then it's a garden warbler. And I think that's pretty good, actually, because black cap tends to do a pretty well-defined and very fluty whistle, whereas garden warblers, to my mind, chuckle on for a bit of time. Yeah. There's a garden warbler now.
Yeah, so it's not just kites on the kite trail, anyway.
No, absolutely no. It must have heard us. It's come closer.
Well, gentlemen, here we are at the top with a grand view, though rather a dreich day, Chris.
Yes, it is a bit of a dreich day, which is a bit unfortunate because there is a fantastic panorama of the loch, both north and south. You can see almost all the way down to Castle Douglas in the south and up as far as almost New Galloway in the north, overlooking just marvellous countryside that is brilliant for kites.
And indeed, you've spotted one over behind in the wood there.
One just flying there, and certainly, you know, birds are breeding in these areas now, so a good chance of seeing them all around the Galloway Kite Trail at this time of year. Slightly less activity because the females are sitting on nests.
Yes, and also the weather, I suppose, keeps them in.
Probably well. You can see there's a low cloud line today. These birds aren't going to be flying high to look for food, but a wet day like today, lots of worms and grubs will be evading the flooding soils. And with that being the case, you're going to find red kites low over the fields to look for worms and grubs as they expose themselves on the surface.
They stoop to feed on worms, do they, too? Then?
They'll worm and grub, much like buzzards do, particularly on damp days like today. But, of course, as you'll know, they're mostly carrion feeders, and they'll be looking for any carrion and possibly small live prey like frogs and toads out in this moist weather as well.
Chris, there's some grand trees around and on the way up. Were these the sort of trees that the kites will want to nest in? Do they go for big trees?
They do, by and large. I mean, there are instances of them nesting in quite small birches, but by and large, most of them are 50, 60, even 70 feet above the ground. They like oaks because they've got big open canopies, and of course, this area is very rich in oak, and it's just bursting out in leaf just now, which is just wonderful. But they also like larch, which is nice soft foliage as well, and quite an open canopy, and Scots pine. So these are the three principal trees that they nest in, and as I say, mostly well up the tree as well. The first thing we do when we detect a nest, or we suspect that there's a nest on someone's land, is we approach the landowner and we let them know that the birds are there. And I think universally, all of the landowners that have got them on the land absolutely love having them. It's almost a sort of point of prestige having your own personal pair of kites. And of course, as the population spreads and as we build up information on the kites, the little bulletins that we produce every year expands, and they can find out about their own kites and also in relation to the whole population. So it helps to bind the whole population together, so to speak.
Of course, Galloway weather is usually not like this, not grey and smurry.
I mean, even today, the smur just sort of lifting a little bit, but immediately the distant hill lines and landscapes are just beginning to come out of the mist, and it's almost worth having a little bit of smur for when that disperses and lifts to reveal this marvellous landscape that we see before us, with the wonderful oak woodland in the foreground, the loch just beyond that, and these hill skylines.
Yes, it's well worth the climb up. Let's climb back down again and perhaps spot something on the way down.
Okay.
Chris, just as we're beginning to go down, you spotted another kite over the woods there.
Yes, there's one just spiralling up out of this wood in front of us here. And I think it's the fact that it's drying off, their wings are drying off, and there's a lovely wind here. And if kites love anything, it's wind. The least little bit of wind gets them up into the air and circling round, drying off their wings, and that bird will soon be off foraging for food, I'm sure.
We're walking down with a small tree woodland. You don't often see this, do you?
It's a sort of mixed broadleaf woodland that's coming away wonderfully. We've got lots of oaks, we've got some cherry, we've got some, I think there's apple in there as well.
Some ash,
there's rowan, some ash, and it's just lovely. And it's full of birds today. I can hear mavis, song thrush, blackbird, a white throat's there, and it's just been overflown by a number of house martins. So it's a special day today, I think, with all these birds out.
And another kite.
And another kite, yeah. Looking a bit lower down at that wood, and I'm just beginning to wonder now if there might be a breeding pair in there.
Back to the small birds that you said, the mavis, the song thrush, that's the repeating one.
They tend to sing in sort of trisyllabic songs. They sometimes do four or five, but most often they repeat the note three times.
And the blackbird's that lovely fluting song. One other thing, Chris, that we missed on the way up, on the way down, it's now very obvious. It's a strange surprise to see a railway bridge there.
Well, it is, because there have been no trains in this area since 1965, when the famous Paddy Line was closed down in Mr. Beeching's Cuts. But what a journey it must have been back then, going through the wilds of Galloway, Ken, towards Port Patrick and the west, the main port back in Victorian times for Ireland. Yes, of course, scene of John Buchan's famous 39 steps and Hanny's escape from the train, being pursued by the special branch and Uncle Tom Cobley and all. And of course, it was the main line to Ireland for very many years for both passengers and freight.
Now, pause the CD until you reach the Kenbridge Hotel, when you should listen to track 6.